God has blessed you, brought you along through some deep, dark water, but hey, you're on the brink of new things, right? Yeah. Woo-hoo. Man, God is good. God is good. Betsy and I love to come and visit with you guys. Brent, he asked me, he said, well, do you have a series you could present, you know? We have some openings in February. I said, hey, when I preached at Trinity Evangelical Free Church in Eckerd, Colorado in 1985, I have a series of 50 messages to the book on Ephesians. So I could be here a long time. No, really, it's great to be here. You're a wonderful church. We've got to know many of you at Tres Dias. And love you, brothers and sisters, and it's great to get to be here on this day when you're on the step of new stuff, you know? You know, sometimes I think that we as the church are sometimes asleep. Sometimes don't we get complacent and we just sit in our pews and we just go through life day by day, the daily grind, the things that keep us busy and occupied, and sometimes we're asleep to what God wants for us. Amen. And today is a day that I'm going to call you to wake up. Amen. Right? And we're going to wake up this morning. This morning, I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. What do you see? What do you see? No! Right? So if you open them a little bit, you can kind of see a little bit. People are kind of foggy. But when we open up our eyes clearly, we see light, don't we? And things become clear. I'm calling you today, and God is calling you today, to open up your eyes, to wake up and see clearly. See spiritual things. Clearly, brightly. Let's look at scripture here this morning, and you may want to keep your pencils handy because I use a lot of scripture, and you may want to look them up afterward. But we're going to look here at verses chapter 5 of Ephesians, and we're going to look at a few verses right in the middle of the book. And I'm sorry because I thought I was just going to preach. I would have started at the beginning on message number one, but, you know, Brent called me this week. So we're starting out in the middle of the book. The book of Ephesians is chapter 1 through 3, the theological discourse that Paul usually uses in his letters. And it's all about who we are in Christ. And when we understand who we are in Christ, verses chapters 4 through 6 are, well, what are you going to do about it? Right? What are you going to do about it? So we're going to start right off here in chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 14 and through verse 20. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful, then, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to pick this apart a little bit. Let's pray that God will open up our eyes and our hearts to his word this morning. Father God, we just come to you here as hungry believers. As believers who want to seek after you, to find you, Lord, to see spiritual life, to work out in our lives. Open up our hearts, open up our eyes, open up our ears to hear your word to us, to me, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This thing keeps wandering about on my ear. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. But everything exposed to the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. Are we walking around every day with our eyes closed? Have we closed off the Spirit of God working in our lives? Are we walking around in spiritual blindness? Jesus said when he spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus, the word of God to us is our light. It's our spiritual light. The world walks in darkness, but we can walk in spiritual light when you have Jesus Christ in you. You are spiritually enlightened. You have the light of spiritual things when Christ indeed dwells in your heart. God wants to open our eyes and to see more clearly. The Ephesian church in this letter really doesn't have any admonitions from Paul like he does in 1 and 2 Corinthians. But in this chapter, the Ephesian church just kind of had everything all together. They knew all of this stuff, but later on in the book we read in Revelations 2, verses 3 through 4, the letter to the Ephesian church and Christ's message to the Ephesian church says, you have persevered, you have endured hardships for my name, and yet you have grown weary. Yet I hold this against you, you have forsaken the love that you had at first. We grow weary. Have we forsaken that love? First time that I accepted Christ into my heart, I was filled with that love. Have we grown weary? The Ephesian church fell asleep. And in the middle of this book, Christ calls out to them, wake up. Wake up. Have you fallen asleep? Are you asleep? How am I going to live today? This is the first day of the rest of my life on Monday morning when the alarm rings. What am I going to do with this day? Am I awake spiritually? Am I ready to face the day the way God wants me to face this day? Ephesians verse 5, verse 14, as we've read. This is why it says, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This was probably a song that the church sang at that time. It was probably a little verse that they spoke to each other and sang to each other, like we sing worship songs. And do this, verses 11 and 12 of Romans 13 says, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Why? Why do we need to wake up? Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of the darkness, and put on the armor of light. That spiritual light, to put that on instead of those deeds of darkness that drag us down into the pit. Amen. So I want you to turn to your neighbor right now and say, wake up!
Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! Wake up!
Good.
Are you awake? Let's see. The first thing, verse 15. I heard some. Verse 15. Wake up to wisdom. What is wisdom? It's the practical application of truth, right? That's what wisdom is. When we apply truth to our lives and we use it in our lives, that's wisdom. So the first part about waking up is waking up to wisdom. Wise believers don't disobey God's design for their lives. Wise believer, God has set standards for all believers to follow, right? He's given us some clear instruction that we'll talk about here for us to follow. So wise believers do these things. They're obedient. Wake up to wisdom. Titus 2, verses 11 and 12 put it like this. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us what? To say no to ungodliness, to worldly passions, to live a self-controlled, upright, and godly life in this present age. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Our salvation teaches us to wake up each day for the rest of our lives and obey Christ's standards for our life, to walk in wisdom. The unwise person is asleep, walking in darkness with their eyes closed to God's standards, to the way he wants us to walk, because his standards are for our good. For us to live a happy, holy life, a fulfilled life, is God's standards for us. Not that he wants to rule us, but that we have an opportunity to live a joyful, God-filled life by following his standards. That's a wise person. And to gain wisdom, to gain this kind of wisdom, there are five principles that I want to talk to you about being wise and being a wise Christian with their eyes open and awake. Number one, worship God. Proverbs 9, verses 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Fear? God's gonna zap me! Not that kind of fear. Reverential awe. When we worship God, we see how big he is, and how little we are, and how unworthy we are. That is reverential awe. That is fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. When we fear God, to honor him, start each day with worship. That's the beginning of wisdom. Number two, wisdom in prayer. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. If you want wisdom, ask God. Pray. Worship. Pray. Wake up. Start each day in prayer, finding wisdom in God. Number three, personal Bible study. Colossians 3:16 says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms and hymns and songs and the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. Wisdom is an outworking of God working in you. God's wisdom is imparted to you as you look into his book, as you look into his word, as you memorize and meditate and read God's wisdom. Number four, wisdom can be given as a gift by the Holy Spirit. If you want wisdom, if you want to be a wise, wide open, awake Christian, the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:8, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. Wisdom is an outworking of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. When you read God's word, when you worship God, it's the Spirit of God working inside of you. Wisdom. Number five, wisdom by instruction from other believers. Colossians 1, verse 28 and 29. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. It's our job as fellow believers to teach one another in God's wisdom and to encourage one another and to build one another up, to act wisely. An awake, wide-open-eyed believer is one who walks in wisdom. Wisdom through worship, wisdom through prayer, wisdom through Bible study. Wisdom is a gift by the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, and wisdom is through instruction. Wake up to God's wisdom every day and set our minds to live a wise life. But look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. Verses 17 through 19. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. A foolish person does not seek God's wisdom. And that's the opposite of a wise person is a foolish person, right? Ephesians 4:17. I think I wrote down the verse wrong. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. You ever see people in the world like that? That's a pretty good description. Gentiles here in this passage really... In our day, we would think of the world systems today, the unbelievers of today, the foolish people of today. They've hardened their hearts against God's truth, against understanding. They make up their own narrative. Whatever is true for me is true for me, right? Well, you're trying to lay your archaic Christian morality on me? I can make up my... If it's good for me, it's good, right? There is no absolute truth. That is darkened in their understanding because God's word is truth. And we as wide open believers have light, spiritual light, because God has opened our eyes to his truth. But the world is darkened in their hearts, darkened in understanding, walking through their lives in spiritual darkness. The world is given over to satisfying all of the fleshly lusts. The foolish world is just man, TV is full of it. Our world is full of people chasing after lust, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. But we as believers are called to have open eyes to God's truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We have truth. We are not foolish. We, with our eyes wide open and awake, see the light, spiritual light. We have the light. To gain a heart of wisdom is being awake. Turn to your neighbor and say, wake up!
Wake up!
Awake believer knows what time it is. Psalm 90:12 says that teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. When we realize what time it is, what the time it is in our world today, as we see our society and our culture crumbling around us into the dirt of the world and the lust, forsaking Christian principle. We need to make the most of every opportunity, Ephesians 5:16, because the days are evil. We need to be aware of all of those opportunities around us to build up the kingdom of God and not be drugged down by the world, chasing after all of the stuff that the world wants to, says that it's good, that'll make us happy. Prosperity, materialism, the lust. To chase after all of that, we need to chase all of the opportunities, it says here, making the most of every opportunity. A believer who's awake seizes the opportunities that God places in front of them. There is a statue, a Greek statue, and it's a statue of Lysippus. Lysippus has wings on his feet. He is bald in the front. He has a great forelock in the back. And on the dialogue of this Greek statue, there's a little dialogue that says, who made you? Oh, Lysippus made me. What is your name? Oh, my name is Opportunity. Why do you have wings on your feet? So that I can fly over all the earth. And why are you bald in back? So, let me read this right. So that when I have gone, no man may grasp me. Opportunity comes and goes, doesn't it? The person on the street that you meet, the person in the grocery store, family members to share the love of Jesus with. Those opportunities are gone. And when they're gone, it's too late. It's too late. It's too late. Those are horrible words, aren't they? When you miss that opportunity, I've had some of those opportunities in my life, and I beat myself up over them. And the devil wants to come and bring those to mind, when those missed opportunities. We need to make the best of those opportunities and obey those opportunities. Because why? The days are evil. And we have a chance, as God's people, to take those opportunities to build the kingdom of God. Right? Every opportunity. And an awake believer knows what time it is. 2 Timothy 3:1 through 7. Got to read this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungodly, unholy, without love, unforgiving, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, having nothing to do with such a people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. This was written back in Ephesians, looking forward to one of the days in the last days. Are we in the last days? Yes. Do you see any of this happening? Amen. Gonna get a witness. Amen. Amen. Boy, it's midnight at the world. Jesus could come any moment. And we need to be grasping on to all of the opportunities that come our way. Right?
Yes.
Amen. You know, the older I get, the more I realize how life is a vapor. Scripture says all flesh is like grass. Here today, burned up the next. When you get past 50, you start thinking of your life in decades. In 10-year increments. Well, I remember when I was 20, I did this and that. And when I was 30, I did this and this and that. And when I'm 40, and when I'm 50, and my gosh, I'm 68 now. I've got more time behind me than ahead of me, right? You realize how short time is and how much we have to make of these last days and the opportunities that come our way, don't we? Jesus is coming back in a short time, and we got to wake up and make the most of every opportunity. Romans 13:11 says, "And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." When I wake up each day, I need to pray, "God, what can I do to build your kingdom today? What can I do? Who can I talk to? Who can I build up? Who can I bless? How am I going to live my life today? God, what do you want me to do today? Am I doing that? Am I doing that?" So turn to your neighbor and wake him up.
Wake up. Wake up. Wake up.
I'm awake.
Wake up to God's will. Verse 17. "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Wake up to God's will. We have all of these thoughts about finding God's will. Oh, it's hard to find. You know? It's kind of like a brass ring on a merry-go-round. Mm-hmm. You scratch it, and you get one of the plastic ones. Yeah, that's okay. You know, plastic one. But you miss the brass ring. You miss the good one. God's will is what he wants to give you. He wants to give you that brass ring and not be satisfied with the plastic one. Oh, I'll go to heaven. If I miss God's will, it's no big deal. Or a traumatic thing. Oh, gosh. God maybe wants me to be a missionary, right? And go to Papua New Guinea. Chase headhunters. I'm not going to do that. No way. Here's another one. It's mysterious. It's the voice of angels.
waiting for some magical voice from heaven.
Oh my God, Bill. Mysterious. Our urgency, we just run off and we don't even think about it. We just do our own thing. That's not necessarily God's will for our life. But 90% of God's will is right here. It's all written down for us. What God wants us to do, what God wants us to live our lives, it's right here. 10% is seeking God. It's going after God. It's finding God. It's listening to his voice and applying this in a practical situation. That's 10%, but 90%, you need to know the book if you want to know God's will. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So when I wake up in the morning on the first day of the rest of my life tomorrow, I've got to ask God, how can I love? Who can I love today? How can I bless somebody today? That's God's will for me, is to love and to bless and to give and to spend our life building the kingdom of God. That's God's will for me every day, right? Every day. Next thing, Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a contrast. It's an illustration. It teaches us a little bit about drinking, right? But it's an illustration of the Holy Spirit in you. Are you drunk with the Holy Spirit? Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Do not be drunk on wine, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a contrast here, isn't it? The contrast of drunkenness to the Holy Spirit. Everybody wants happiness in their life, and some people go after drugs and alcohol to find that happiness in their life. And they search after it to fill an empty hole in their life, a trauma in their life, and they're seeking out some way to fill up that emptiness in their life. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does in your life. Have you ever seen a fizzy tablet? A purple fizzy tablet? And you put it in a glass of water? What happened? It flavors the whole glass. It turns purple. Right? Can you quench a fizzy tablet? Probably not. I don't know. Unless you put it in alcohol and it doesn't. I don't know. Benzene or something. But you can quench the Holy Spirit in your life. You can turn him off in your life so that your life isn't purple like a fizzy tablet. How do you do that? By sin, by acting foolishly, by walking in spiritual darkness. If you want to walk in light, you have to have the Holy Spirit filling up your life. It's kind of like a glove. I can take a glove and I can say, go play the piano. A glove can't play the piano unless it's full of the power of you to play that piano, strum that guitar. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to fill your life and empower your life and give you what you need to build up the kingdom of God, to bless people, to love people, to walk in obedience as God. When you receive the Holy Spirit, when you ask Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit came into your life. Excuse me. Whoa, that was horrible. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, Romans 8:9 says, but you are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Romans 8:9. 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You don't have to pray, Holy Spirit, come into my life. He's in your life. Have you allowed him to control your life? Have you allowed that fizzy action? Have you put aside your flesh? Have you walked in obedience and allowed the Holy Spirit to fill you? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wise people, awake people, ask God to fill them with the Holy Spirit, to be filling. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We're baptized by the Holy Spirit. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. But filling is allowing God to control you, your actions, your thoughts. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, it dominates your personality. Have you ever met somebody and you just know they're a believer because of the joy that just flows out of their soul? That's what God wants to produce in you. Purple fizzy juice. Right? So that when I look at you, I see the Holy Spirit. I see the joy. Wake up and ask God to fill you with the Spirit every day. Luke 11:13 says, even though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. You know how to give good gifts, right? Then how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's there. It's available if you allow the Holy Spirit. If you walk in obedience, if you confess your sins, if you're asking God to fill you, he wants to come in and fill you. Turn to your neighbor and say, wake up!
Wake up.
Wake up to a melody of thankfulness. Ephesians 5, verses 19 and 20, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord. When you have God's wisdom, when you have God's will, when you're obedient to God, when you have the Spirit of God, a melody of thankfulness flows out of your heart. Betsy and I ask each other every morning, well, not every morning, but a lot of mornings, hey, what song are you singing this morning? What song did you wake up to? Do you do that? That's the Holy Spirit in your life, speaking to you, getting you ready for the day. Song are you singing today? When you're spirit filled, you have a song in your heart. Music is a window to the soul, isn't it? It speaks to your spirit. It really enlivens your spirit. Music is important. The early church had more than just David's psalms. It also had like this little song at the beginning. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. They sang songs to each other with thankfulness and melodies in their hearts, just as we should. Whatever form of our music, the psalms, the old hymns, the contemporary music, so many churches are divided over all of that. What's important is the message. What's important is sharing the love of Jesus, of encouraging one another with songs. When we sing, when we worship in the morning, it's encouraging all of us as we make melody in our hearts. As we worship God together, it draws us together, it speaks to our souls, it encourages us, enlivens us, brings us forth so we can go out into the world on Monday morning. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Wow. Are we always giving thanks, or are we walking in a negative world? Oh, it's hard. Oh, I hate. Oh. Oh, my God. Are we walking, or are we walking in a joyful, thankful spirit for another day of life? Praise God! We've got so many things to be thankful for. Blessing upon blessing. God's given us life. He's placed us in this time of luxury and liberty and a beautiful country and western Colorado and blue skies. I could go on and on and on. Spirit of thankfulness. A wake-up believer has melody in their heart, and they're full of thankfulness and joy. What's the opposite of thankfulness? Complaining. Experience spiritually awake is having a thankful, joy-filled heart. Monday morning is the first day of the rest of your life, and you're going to wake up. Turn to your neighbor and say, wake up to light versus darkness. Turn to your neighbor and say, wake up to wisdom versus foolishness. Turn to your neighbor and say, wake up to opportunity versus misfortune. Turn to your neighbor and say, wake up to God's will versus my selfishness. Wake up. Wake up to a spirit-filled life, a fizzy-filled life. Turn to your neighbor and say, wake up to fizzy. Finally, wake up to thankfulness versus complaining. I thank you for you. You're awesome. I love you. Let's pray together. Lord, so much I think that I'm asleep so much of the time. Lord, I'm praying myself, I'm preaching to myself as I stand up here. Lord, I need to wake up. And I pray for each one of these beloved Christians out here that you would wake them up, that they would walk out of here awake and alive, full of light. Full of your light, that as they go into the world, that they would be salt and light, that they would walk in wisdom and truth and light. Lord, we're thankful for you meeting us here today to worship and to share together in your word. Lord, we're thankful for how you've spoken to each and every heart here this morning. Lord, may we put it into action. May we truly wake up, we pray, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.